What was it like in Brazil? Because you don't South America sort of seems to get pushed aside during.
Well, they weren't affected by the war as much as, you know, the United States, and it was when we were down there, it was carnival time. So that goes on whether there's a war or not.
What about the Panama Canal? Did
beautiful.
Did I guess none of the Germany couldn't use it, obviously.
No,
so
no.
Were they using it before the war?
They probably were. Yes,
so.
It was open to everybody.
FDR died in 1945, right?
Now, that was very traumatic.
Uh-huh.
Most people thought we were going to lose the war.
Mm-hmm. So he died before the war ended?
Yes, just before. It was in April of 45, and the war was over in August.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought it would have a great impact. But Truman was able to take over, and everything was in place, so it was just a feeling that we lost a great man.
And
even the ones that, didn't like him politically felt bad. You know, actually the war killed the man. The pressures were so great on him.
Were you aware of the development of the atomic bomb before they used it?
Not at all. Had
just
no
came
idea.
Out of nowhere. How did you feel about that?
I got kind of mixed feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was certainly glad the war was over. I was in Bremerton, Washington, and I think you've never seen such celebration as when the war was over. But the loss, I know that we saved more lives by dropping it. But if we could have ended the war without it, and not lost the lives, and because of the private people, private citizens that were killed, the innocent people, the majority of them, you know, it's any war, the innocents and the ones that suffer.
Do you think FDR would have used it if he, you
know, yes, it would have been used. Mm-hmm.
How do you think, in general, the whole war affected how you are now? I mean, is it something that you do remember a lot? Or?
Oh, I remember a lot of it. It's something that you can't, especially the combat part.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, losing good friends and seeing them die by you and everything. That's the tough part. And we talk about, well, you know, the older you get, the more you talk about it. It's just they get through with your old buddies, and the Navy won the war and all that kind of junk. But it changed everybody's life. It has to. I don't know how to really explain how it changes your life. I think I'm more tolerant after the war than I was before. I think I have more sympathy for the people. You look at this Bosnia. Hey, what's the difference of their religion? Why kill them? Why? I just can't understand it. Why would they be that way? World War I is supposed to end it all, and then Korea comes along, and one after another. No, I can't see that where it'll solve anything.
What now? You said you came home in April.
No, I got out in March of 46.
Okay, so after the war had ended, were you still? You say your fleet came. I mean, your ship came home, though, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you got back to the States, what did you do then?
Well, we came through the canal, went up to Boston and New York, and celebrated. And then I was on another ship. This was in October. And then we went to Brazil and back, and then I got out and I come home and got married and went back to school to finish my education in business. Well, first I worked on the railroad 3 months, and I knew that wasn't the way to go. Although they were paying very well, $35 a week. You know, that doesn't sound much now, but that's good money.
What did you do on the building?
Hey, I worked on the section gang. I swung a pick. Whack. That decided and said, hey, this is not your life. You've got to get your education in. I do know that education is so much more important now than it was when I was going to school. You know, it was, if you didn't finish high school and went to work, no big deal. But now, you're in college. You're not going to make a living unless you almost have to have a master's degree. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with the? I don't. Throughout the whole that whole 20 year period, I guess from 25 to 45. So, what was the changing sentiments about the situation in Russia and the Reds?
Well, there was. You're very aware of the Reds. It wasn't communists or commies or anything. It was Reds. Everybody was distrustful of the Reds and the Bolsheviks, and that's about all I can tell you about it. It was. They were so. We were so worried about our own problems and everything, the depression and everything. That took number one. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest concern.
So there was a great sense of unity during the depression, then.
Pardon?
Great sense of unity.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely.
And how many years did you spend in Chicago during the depression? You spent your...
Well, 39, we went back to Indiana. Okay. Most of the depression was in Chicago.
So you think of, when I think of Chicago during the 30s, you do think sort of Al Capone.
Oh yeah, but it wasn't. That's what you get the news from. Mm-hmm. It's about, you go overseas and you're from Chicago. No.
Did you see any of that kind of thing going on?
Yeah, we just knew, we're aware of it, and we know that we didn't have to worry about our house locked up or anything like that, even in Chicago. They didn't bother people. They didn't. Certainly, there was some robberies and everything, but they never bothered the ordinary person like we live in this neighborhood. We felt in our apartment, we didn't have to worry. But they were after big bucks, you know, crooks killing crooks. Al Capone was a bad one. John Dillinger robbed banks. You know, he didn't. He was not a good person. Boy, a darn sight. Babyface Nelson. It was a tough time. Tough time.
Here, I've heard some about certain radio programs, and I'm trying to think of the names. The people that were very anti-FDR, and were you exposed to any of that?
I mean, no, I don't remember any of that. I know we used to go down the streets as kids counting how many pictures of FDR and how many of Hoover and Wiley. 10-1 in favor of FDR. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't say that Hoover was a bad president. It was just the times. People needed to change. Things were not going well. You know, this chicken in every pot and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I know there's so much that must have happened during the 30s. I was trying to think of good questions to ask that I don't know much about Chicago.
Now, I don't know about college advance after a high school. I know nothing about how it was during the Depression for students. It had to be tough because you'd either have to have money because there was not aid for students at that time. And it's a good thing we went to Indiana because I would have had to go to a Boston high school in Chicago. And my goodness, it was as big as Jacksonville. JSU is a large high school. I would probably, being a little guy, I'd probably, would have made a difference. I wanted to get a job, so I wanted to do. But my dad was well educated, and he says, no, you kids are going to get your education also.
Did you notice any big differences in people's attitudes between the people that you were exposed to in Chicago and the people you were exposed to in the rural setting? I mean, did the people in Chicago seem closer to maybe politics and than the war?
The rural was pretty much, they were well informed and everything. Mm-hmm. In our, I think it was tougher in the city than it was in the country for people during the Depression. In the country, they raised their own food. You know, they could have food and stuff, but there's a lot of things they couldn't have either, but they always was able to have food. You could butcher a cow if you got hungry or whatever. So.
How many out of, you said the population was 100 in this town in Indiana. How many people had to ended up going to the war? Maybe the population.
Oh, see, they did their share of it. I really don't know how many, but all the young people went. Those were physically able. And a lot of the farm boys, if there was more than one boy in the family and he was farming, only one or so got to stay home. Got the deferment to work on the farm, so the others had to go. Yeah.
Were the farmers there, were they called upon by the government to do a lot of, you know, food supply?
Oh, yeah. So they Boy, I'll tell you. Victory Gardens, yeah, everybody, even in the cities, if you had a little plot of ground, they dug it up. And now, whether it meant anything or whether it produced any towards the war effort, it did make you feel better that you were doing. You felt like you were doing something for the war effort.
So economically, the war really obviously.
Oh yes, the economic. Hey, every war is an economical boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now this thing over in Bosnia, now if the Russians would get back, just think, they would change their mind about closing a lot of these places. You know they would.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it so many times.
I guess the Depression was just sort of what you grew up in, so it was sort of what was.
Yeah,
it was like, to me, this is normalcy.
Yeah.
So after the war, was there sort of a kind of lapse back into that a little
no,
bit?
No, it seemed like it was slow. You know, all the GIs coming home, they started building homes and everything, and that was a boom.
Mm-hmm.
And the factories started gearing up again, and you couldn't buy an automobile unless you knew somebody. I was home 3 years before I could buy a new car. It was $1,495. I didn't think there was that much money in the world.
What sort of new, I guess, stuff like appliances and technology and stuff, what sort of things did you see develop through the 30s and
40s? Oh, television. Oh, through the 30s and 40s?
Yeah.
Oh, refrigerators and this. There was the washing machines and furnaces, central air, central heat. No central air. Nobody had air. My God. Only theaters. The theaters had cool. You could come in, go and cool off in the theater. Nobody had air.
Did you get? I've read also during the late 20s and 30s there became when the middle class. Well, I guess the middle class hadn't quite yet developed, but there was a thing to actually decorate bathrooms and decorate.
Oh yeah,
Did you get into that kind of thing? I mean, your family.
I don't know. I mean, this young, you know, in school, I didn't pay. But I know after the war, appliances really started growing, and everybody. We used to have ice boxes. You know, they. Guy come up the alley selling ice, 25 pounds. You get 25 pounds, put it in for, and we had people with horse and wagon. They'd sell produce and rags of iron. And the guy buying old iron and rags, and fruit people coming through selling fruit. And milk was delivered horse and wagon. And we used to go up to the barns to see the horses. And Brock's Candy Factory was there in our, and they had seconds and candy. They wouldn't say we could have it, but they would make it very convenient for us to get it. You know what I mean? They couldn't give it to us, but they made it convenient for us for rejects and stuff like that.
Did I know even in big cities today, rather than supermarkets or any sort of grocery store, you could go to just the different little stores, one store for vegetables, one store for bread. Is that Did your mom shop every day for the...
We had a large grocery store on the corner, and it was, golly, we could get this, we thought everything. I can remember some of the prices that you'd buy peanut butter by the pound, 15 cents. Hamburger was like a nickel a pound. Bread was a nickel. I remember when it went to 6 cents, I can remember Dad having a fit. You know, well, my mother and father were separated when I was small, and my father raised us, so we didn't have a mother around. We had my dad was fortunate enough, like I say, making $1,100 a year. We had a woman come in once in a while to make sure we was clean, and although we were, my father was very particular.
Let me flip this over real quick.